The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speaker, wherever you get podcasts, big news, and it's not good. In the NFL today, it's not good for Rams fans. L.A., this was a tough break. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, as fate would have it, Sean McVay, head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, is coming up on this program in 30 minutes. He will be my guest. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, let's get right into it. Thought today we're going to talk finals off the top. Game 6 tonight could be the deciding game. Huge game for the legacy of Chris Paul. Will Giannis become a champion? Thought we might talk Aaron Rodgers. But we got to talk Cam Akers and the Los Angeles Rams, because Rams running back Cam Akers ruptured his Achilles while working out and underwent testing that confirmed the injury, a source told ESPN's very own Adam Schefter. So Akers is out for the season. Here's the thing. Usually a running back, you're like, yeah, but if you have a good offensive line, you can get good production out of backs. And it's not like the Rams don't have good depth there. They have a couple guys who can really run the ball. But Cam Akers, at the end of last year, second half of last year, guys, like, let's be honest. When you think about the top-tier running backs in the league, I expect Saquon coming off injury to be number one. When he was last seen on a football field, McCaffrey, who's also coming off injury, was actually number one in terms of production. But those two guys are the two guys I have my eyes on, my eye on, okay? And then Kamara, right? And then, I mean, you have Dalvin Cook. You have one or two others. I really thought that Cam Akers this season was going to join that first tier. Top five, top six. He was great at the end of last year. And when you think about the Rams offense and what McVay can do with Stafford, like, think about what he did with Goff and Gurley. Remember a couple years ago, it was like, the Rams have three MVPs on their team. Three guys in the conversation. About two-thirds of the way through that season, I'd say. One was Todd Gurley. The other was Jared Goff. Jared Goff had a real, real good season the year they went to the Super Bowl. About two-thirds of the way through, he looked elite. And then the other, of course, Aaron Donald on defense. Well, the play action and just what McVay could do when he had Gurley as a running back, he made Jared Goff look like, Patrick Mahomes. Not exactly, but you get the idea. And they've had some guys who can run the ball since then, but not like Gurley. And if you really think about, what about the Rams' offense kind of fell off? Remember when it was everyone wanted to see Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl? And they would have had there not been a pre-snap penalty that gave Tom Brady back the ball against Kansas City. And the Rams would have been favored to beat Kansas City. Like, Kansas City had a high-octane offense, but so did the Rams, and the Rams had a defense. If you play DraftKings, you know, take that Rams defense every week, you'd do pretty good back then. Anyway, do pretty well. That Rams team was offensively special, not just because McVay is this brilliant offensive mind, and he had, like, you know, Goff was very good, former number one overall pick, two-time Pro Bowler, took a team to the Super Bowl, or at least was quarterback of a team who went to the Super Bowl. And he had, like, a bunch of receivers who were all really good, you know. But Gurley, he had an MVP-caliber player with him on offense. Remember back then, everybody was Ezekiel Elliott, the best running back in football? No, Gurley was better at his best. The Rams' offense has not been the same since. And going into this season, I thought, you know what? They got Cam Akers now. And watch, McVay will do, like, it'll be, like, you know, what he did with Gurley with the offense and how much he made Goff better. But this ain't Goff. This is Stafford, who's more talented. Now, since week 11 of last season, including the playoffs, Akers is number one in rushing yards, scrimmage yards, and scrimmage touchdowns on the Rams. That's team rank. I wonder where that is in the league, because he was really, really good last year. Anyway, So I thought, you know, they got their guy now. That offense is going to be a problem. In fact, even talking about, like, will Stafford win a Super Bowl on the Rams, my first instinct was say no. He might get there. I just don't actually believe in Stafford, as many fourth quarter comebacks as he's led and as talented as he's always looked. Maybe I'm like that dumb sports, you know, broadcaster guy who just goes, duh, I've never seen him win a Super Bowl, therefore I don't think he'll win, right? I started thinking that partly because of Cam Akers. I thought, well, okay, hold on. Stafford has a real running game. He has an offensive line. He has a defense. He has receivers. He has a running game. But I started thinking, like, Cam's kind of like Gurley was. Not anymore. Not anymore. Boy, at least not this year. That is a huge hit for the Rams to take, having invested in this season the way they did bringing Stafford over. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So it's not about the money. This offseason, the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers, apparently, a two-year contract extension that would have tied him to Green Bay for five more seasons and made him the highest-paid quarterback and player in football. Rodgers declined the offer, and Adam Schefter tweeted, proof it's not about the money. Well, Aaron Rodgers has to kind of now put out there, look, this is never about the money, because the Packers apparently now are releasing, back-channeling, leaking info about offers they supposedly made. First of all, a two-year extension is actually a way to ease financial burden in terms of the salary cap. When you give a quarterback an extension, the reason both parties rework the deal is the quarterback gets some money up front, and the team gets to prorate the bonus over more years. So they actually give themselves some breathing room with the cap. That's the point. And the Packers are trying to spin that to mean, like, look, we made an offer. You got to stop that. You got to stop that. It's such bad, like, no wonder, Roger, like, even in the middle of all this, I guess the only thing that can be said is the Packers know he's out. We just have to try to put a happy face on it now, from our point of view, because he's out. Because if you still thought you had a chance to get him, you would not be behaving this way. You would not be putting out there in the press, hey, we may try to give him a two-year extension. Because that's just going to antagonize, especially a veteran player who knows how the game is played, the game, you know, behind the game, who knows what the team is really trying to do we made an effort. No, you didn't. I keep saying it. I'll say it one more time. And we got to get to the NBA Finals. Howard Stern used to do this with a Gary Delabate. Still does, I'm sure. Although I haven't heard it recently. He'd like make him repeat after me. Like Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst should repeat after me. I'm going to help them right now. Aaron Rodgers is our boss. Murphy and Gutekunst have to say Aaron Rodgers, and do it publicly. Aaron Rodgers is our boss. He tells us what to do. It needs to be their new mantra. They just need to keep repeating that. Aaron Rodgers is our boss. He tells us what to do. You know why they wouldn't come out and do that, really? Because they'd find it humiliating. But the reason they'd find it humiliating is because they lack the requisite humility to be the kind of front office that wins a Super Bowl. It takes humility. Then you're not humiliated. And what do I mean by this? Football has its roots in the military. It's a military game. It's a metaphor for war. And, you know, it has its roots in West Point. And I think football people just can't abide by. They can't abide the idea of insubordination or rank jumping, you know, chain of command. Because players were always essentially told, either explicitly or implicitly or both, stay in your lane. And certainly they're not going to call the shots on a team. And Gutekunst and Murphy were, you know, operating in a world where that was true, because it was true in the NFL until pretty recently. Like last couple of years, the rules changes finally added up to quarterbacks being so important in the offense that the very best of the best, like Brady or Rodgers or Mahomes, could call shots. But the Packers had treated Rodgers through the years, reportedly, like, we don't even want to hear from you. When Rodgers finally realized, I think, okay, wait a minute, times have changed, I have power here, the Packers didn't adjust their attitude. And if I were their front office, I'd be like, you know, you ever see Dave Chappelle in Half-Baked? When he apologized to Samson, he said, Samson, I'm sorry, because Samson had a crossbow on him. He said, I'm sorry, right? That's what Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst had to act like Dave Chappelle in Half-Baked. Rodgers, I'm sorry. Don't shoot that crossbow. They needed to really be like, we were wrong, you were right. We are stupid, you are smart. We are not very good looking, you're very handsome. The whole Happy Gilmore. They had to do the whole thing to Chubbs. The whole thing. And then they had to do it publicly. And then they had to make him the biggest offer in the history of football. And all of that with the attitude of Rodgers is calling the shots. We need to change his mind. If they would have done that, they would have had a chance to keep him. But they were under the impression that they were calling the shots. And now they're going to lose Aaron Rodgers, it seems to me. NBA Finals Game 6. You can hear the whole game on ESPN Radio. What do the Suns need to do to extend the series? Chris Paul had some good ideas about that. Listen.
I think they get us into ISO situations a lot of times, and it may work here and there. But us moving the ball, making sure everybody's touching it, it's a fine line between all of that. I mean, I played in Houston, too, where that was our MO. We wanted to get you on ISOs, but our team here, I think we're at our best when the ball is hopping and everybody's getting a chance to shoot it.
He's absolutely right about that, Chris Paul. That was an NBA on ESPN Radio. Absolutely right about that. When you think of this lineup, the problem the Suns have run into, other than Saric being hurt so their front line is thin, what I like so much about the Suns is the backcourt fits. Two ball-dominant guards. Both can play on or off ball, but one's really a pure point guard, is best as a pure point guard. Although Chris Paul's a scoring machine off the ball, but pure point guard, pure shooting guard, right? But both can be combo players, but they're best cast in those roles. And there they are, side by side. And then at forward, you know, they call Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson the twins because they're like almost the same height. And they have very similar games. When Cam Johnson is right, he's defending. Mikal Bridges became an excellent defender. But they're both like 3-and-D guys who can really shoot. But 3-and-D who can shoot plus. Plus they have athletic ability. Plus they can get their own shots better than a normal 3-and-D guy. And then you have DeAndre Ayton, the big. And then you have Jay Crowder, who's the perfect kind of Swiss Army knife modern player. And campaign showed he can run the offense. They go, without Saric, really 7-deep. But when you think about it, one of the things I like so much about the construction of the team is DeAndre Ayton's the big who can roll to the basket, and you don't have to design plays for DeAndre Ayton. You can. You don't have to because he can get his points in the flow of the game, like 20 points. And Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, and by the way, Jay Crowder, you don't have to design plays for them either. They're effective without the ball on both ends of the floor, and they can, you know, any one of those guys can go for 15, 20 points without really trying, just by being the open man. If the guards get them the ball. Chris Paul and Devin Booker, Chris Paul's absolutely right. In ISO, like to get into these ISO situations, why did Devin Booker get stripped in Game 5? Because everyone knew, including Drew Holiday, that even though Book was double-teamed, he was still going to try and shoot. So he came to help a double. It was a triple team at that point. Did Devin Booker realize? Devin Booker has a very high basketball IQ. Did he realize, oh, there are three guys, someone's open? My answer would be yes, of course he knew that. But he didn't care. That's one of the downsides of the Mamba mentality. Kobe Bryant did the same kind of stuff. Kobe Bryant was the best bad shot maker of all time. Jordan's the greatest player of all time because even though he was an amazing bad shot maker, he took more good shots. And Devin Booker is a mini Mamba. He is a killer. But gets tunnel vision sometimes, especially under pressure. You know, we had a program director, Mike Thompson. in L.A., Max and Marcellus. Marcellus Wiley and I had a radio show, very, very popular radio show. So popular. Raj, I mean, this thing was popular. It was so good that we could even carry Raj as a producer, and it was still a hit. At any rate, Mike Thompson knew early on when Marcellus and I started doing radio together, if it was like a slow news day or something, sometimes I'd be trying to do too much, right? And Mike Thompson's like, listen, don't try and pull so hard. Relax a little bit. You know, trust your teammates. He was right. Devin Booker has to stop the tunnel vision. Doubled and triple teams late in games. And find the open man. Because the open man's going to be Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson or Chris Paul. And all these dudes can shoot. And they're not afraid to take the shot. Now on the Goodyear Hotline, Baron Davis. Former all-star point guard, third overall pick, could jump out the gym. Baron!
What's up, Max? What's happening?
What's going on? Long time no hear.
Yeah, no, man. How you doing?
Good. Baron, we're looking at, from one former Clippers point guard to another, we're looking at Chris Paul. And as great as he was against Denver, and as great as he was in Game 6 in the conference finals, he just looks out of gas the last couple days. What do you see when you look at Chris Paul right now?
Right now, I just feel like, you know, if you look at his numbers, you know, he's shooting 50%, 20 points, down there, 11 assists. You know, they could easily be up, you know, 3-2 or...
Yeah, the series could be over if they make a couple more plays.
You know, what does the stats mean now? I think that's where I believe... I feel like he needs to just be a little bit more aggressive. You know, you can tell that, you know, and Milwaukee's doing a hell of a job now, like crowding them. You got to think, this is a finals. Everybody's seeing each other. Right. Nobody's really dominating. Everybody's hitting tough shots. And, you know, for Chris, I just think that he just needs to go out and just be aggressive from the start. You know, it looks like he's been pacing himself and just trying to, you know, get his offensive rhythm. But I feel like the more aggressive he is and, you know, the more kind of feisty he is, right, the better that's going to translate for his team.
So, Baron, I heard Zeke's Isaiah Thomas, the Hall of Famer, say the same kind of thing. You know, like Chris Paul, he says he's like playing it safe. That he's playing, you know, Chris Paul can be very perfect, but he wants to see him playing to win, not playing not to lose. Now, that's not what I'm seeing. I'm not saying it's not there. If Isaiah Thomas is seeing that, and you're also seeing he's not aggressive enough. Okay, let's say that's there. But to me, it just looks like maybe it's, I don't know, lingering like a fog of COVID, or maybe it's the ligaments in the hand or something. Something looks not right to me about him. Do you think it's something physical, or do you think it's something between the ears?
You know, I think that since everybody has this, you know, social media microscope and like all things media microscope, that you can kind of nitpick, but, you know, think about it, man. These dudes are the last two guys standing, right? They're the last two teams standing. And, you know, they're beating each other up. They're flying back and forth. I mean, you know, when you look at all the great, you know, seven-game series or series in the finals, you know, you start seeing, you know, fatigue set in on both sides, right? Even, you know, you go back to, you know, the Golden State LeBron game 7, like that was an ugly game, but it was exciting because you knew that no one had anything left to give, you know, outside of that day. And I think that's the same thing you're seeing is, you know, the finals is a whole nother level of intensity, a whole nother level of energy. And like you're at the end, right? So, you know, I think both sides is you're seeing, you know, fatigue, right? But you're also seeing dudes perform at a high level being exhausted, right? Look at Chris Middleton, look at, you know, Giannis, these guys also on their knees. So, you know, to just put a microscope on Chris Paul and say, oh, it's fatigue and things like that. I mean, You know, everybody's tired. It's just a matter of them getting over the hump. I think a couple made shots, you know, a couple of incredible defensive plays. Like, nobody's really giving credit to, you know, Milwaukee and their ability to lock down defensively and come up with incredible plays down the stretch, right? And this series could have went either way. I'm sure you can attest to that, Max, you know, just kind of watching the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Suns could have already won the series. Suns make two more plays and they could have already won the series. I mean, that's the way these things go.
Right? Exactly.
Barron, yeah, I know you
hosting Chris Paula, you know, on our shoulders, you know, only talking about the great things. So, you know, I just think that it's an unfair microscope, right? The kid, I mean, he's playing well enough for them to position themselves to win, to put their best offensive player, Devin Booker, in a position to win. You know, I just think throughout the course of the game, he has to, you know, be more of a risk taker and the dictator that he is in order for them to win. But give credit to Milwaukee and their ability to, you know, basically try to stifle
Barron,
the superpower.
Before we get out of here, I know you're doing something with Domino's. What do you know about them bones, Barron?
Come on, man. I made a movie, Domino Battle of the Bones. It drops today on iTunes, all streaming platforms. You know, I'm kind of the master of Domino's. I wanted to bring Domino's to the forefront, you know, just the film and the characters. So it's funny. You know, to me, it's funny. I want people to see it. It'd be dope with the, you know, the whole sports community, you know, watch it, tweet it, post it, you know, just show their support. Max, if you ever want to play a game of dominoes, we do that every Friday night at Slick Studios. So, you know, you're welcome to come out, bring Marcellus with you. You know what I mean? And we'll smack y'all up. But check out the movie. It drops today, Domino Battle of the Bones. I mean, it's exciting, bro.
Domino Battle of the Bones is the name of the movie. Barron Davis, thank you very much for talking to me today, the great Barron Davis, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Coming up, how will the Rams fill the void left by Cam Akers out for the season? I will ask head coach Sean McVay. He is my guest coming up. It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good. Well, now you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
It's the biggest season ever.
I'm Tyreek Hill. I can play running back. I can do fly sweeps. I can run screens, deep crossers. I can do anything I want to do to you because you can't stop me.
The countdown to the NFL season continues. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Okay, boys and girls, one day, if you wind up working in this industry, you may talk to a head coach who's already been to a Super Bowl and was in junior high school when you started working at ESPN. That's the position I now find myself in. Boy, that's a lot in a short time on this earth, Coach. Sean McVay on the Max Kellerman Show right now, Rams head coach. Coach, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate you having me, Max. How's everything going?
Everything's going well, although I guess not so much with you guys today. That is a piece of bad news about Cam Akers. Coach, when did you find out?
Yeah, I found out it happened yesterday. He was working out. You know, the first thing is you just feel so bad for him because he's doing everything right, Max. He's working hard. I think he was really put in a good position, you know, based on the way he finished and how strong and how much confidence he built based on the production he had and just the consistency that he approached every single day with. And it's a bummer, but You know, you put your arm around him, you support him. I know he's going to attack the rehab the right way, and then it gives guys an opportunity to step up in his absence.
Coach, I hear you, and of course you feel your heart breaks for him first, but the way he played in the second half of last year, it looked to me like, oh my God, they're going to give McVay, Akers, and Stafford, and the offensive line still looks really good, and you have a defense. How much of an advantage is it to have a you know, bell cow, like a guy who can take the ball three downs and do all the things he can do? Is it simply an issue of like saving a roster spot, or does that kind of premium production at the position do something more than just that?
Yeah, I think what you mentioned, Max, you know, the way he was playing at the end of the year, where he can play all three downs and you can really give him a heavy workload and he just gets better as he accumulates touches and carries, that's hard to find. You know, it felt similar to what Todd had done for so many years for us a couple years back. And I think, you know, it's on the record about how highly I think of Kim and what a complete player I think he is. It's a big loss, but it is an opportunity for others. And you know, this is part of the game. Unfortunately, you just hate it for him, how it occurred in such kind of a freak way. But, you know, you got to be able to, like I said, kind of put your arm around him. And then, you know, opportunities open up. We got a great running back coach in Thomas Brown that I know is going to do an excellent job leading the way. And Daryl Henderson's a guy that's played a lot of really good football, too, for us, Max, who I think really highly of.
Talking to Coach Sean McVay, head coach, of course, of the Los Angeles Rams, among the Super Bowl favorites this year, talking about the devastating injuries, the Achilles rupture to Cam Akers. He's out for the season. Coach, you mentioned someone who might step up. Is there anyone outside the organization? Of course, a lot of Rams fans' minds go to Todd Gurley. He's available. Adrian Peterson, the brand name older running backs. Is there any interest in kicking the tires on one of those guys?
Yeah, I think you want to take a step back. I think the immediacy of it is your first inclination is, okay, who do we have to replace it? And then what you do feel good about is we've got some young depth on the roster, and it'll earn guys an opportunity to really see, all right, how do they handle a little bit more of a workload? How are they able to handle some competitive opportunities we'll have, whether it be in the preseason or practicing against the Cowboys and the Raiders? And so we've got some young backs on our roster that I'm intrigued about seeing how they handle this opportunity. I don't know that the veteran route is something that we would rule out, but it's not something that we're immediately looking to address right now, you know, with it just occurring yesterday to Cam.
Coach, the NFC West is brutal. Like, you're just swimming with sharks in that division. What does Matthew Stafford bring to your team that you didn't have?
You know, I think what he brings, it's not necessarily what we didn't have, but he brings a great wealth of experience, really smart. If you've been around him, Max, anybody that's spent some time with Matthew Stafford, he's just got a great way about himself. Easy, authentic way of connecting with his teammates. And the guy's a baller. I mean, you just watch some of the most difficult parts of playing the quarterback position, I think are really where he illustrates what a special player he is. And we're really excited about being able to play some real football. You know, we had an opportunity to connect and spend a lot of time in the off season, kind of getting things installed and really talk through it. But training camp will represent an opportunity to get out on the grass, let him compete a little bit. And I know I speak for the rest of our coaching staff that we're really excited about collaborating with this guy.
Talking to Rams head coach Sean McVay here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Coach, one of the, I think, most overlooked, at least in the national media, signings or acquisitions of your team in recent years was Whitworth at left tackle. And I'm a Giants fan, yep. And it just kills me because the Giants are like, well, at the time he's like 33 or something like that. We can't spend all this money on a 33-year-old. He has been an absolute stud for you guys, in my opinion. That offensive line looks like it has the potential to be pretty good again, maybe even better than pretty good. Can you tell me about what Whitworth has brought to the team?
It you know, I could go on and on, Max, and we could spend the rest of the show talking about what an instrumental part he's been of developing a culture, being a foundational piece. You know, for me, he and I have a really special relationship, Max, but the production, the way that he puts his arm around guys, you know, just his empathy, his ability to lead and connect with his teammates, with me as a great sounding board, you know, he's been one of the things that represents what's been right about the Rams for the last handful of years. And He came in not knowing what to expect. He had, you know, I think there's, you know, I think people forget how successful they were in Cincinnati as well. And like you said, you know, there was a lot of teams interested, and it was kind of unprecedented for a player of his age and experience to get the contract. And here we are now. He's 2 years removed from finishing that contract that we were supposedly not doing a good deal. And I think everybody would say it was arguably one of the best free agent deals that it's been done in the history of this league with what he's meant for our team. And I love the guy. Can't say enough. And the fact that he came back, played the way he did in the two playoff games, and then he's going to be 40 years old doing his thing still. He's like a fine wine, Max. He just gets better with age.
Coach, you have a guy in Aaron Donald on the other side of the ball who's as good at least as anyone who's ever done it, who's still in or around his prime. And now you've brought in Matthew Stafford, and you got the offensive line, and even with Akers' injury, you have some depth at the running back position, receivers everywhere you look. Is it Super Bowl or bust this season for you?
Yeah, I think all 32 teams right now, Max, have a goal of wanting to do that, but you know, we're really just going to enjoy building blocks one day at a time. You know, I think that one of the things that we've been fortunate enough to do the last few years is that, hey, you know, there are expectations. I think that's a compliment, but you got to earn that. You know, you got to earn it every single day, earn the confidence. And, you know, I'm excited about starting training camp with these guys next week. And really, it's all building towards being, you know, healthy and ready to go by the time we play the Bears in week one on September 12th. So a lot of confidence in the players that we have, but knowing that we've got to earn it every single day.
What is Sean McVay, Rams head coach, what is your favorite restaurant in Los Angeles?
My favorite restaurant, man, that is a tough one. There's a lot of different flavors, you know. Nobu in Malibu is always a good one. You know, my fiance loves Giorgio Baldi, as do I. That's kind of in Santa Monica area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Craig's is a good one. Delilah, there's a lot of really good places.
Baldi's
that we like,
excellent,
Matt.
No question. What about, have you been to Bavel? You got all kinds of different ethnic cuisines all over Los Angeles.
I have not been to Bavel. Is it a good one?
It's Bavel with a B. Yes. Quite
Bavel.
Good.
Well, obviously,
yeah,
then I haven't been there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. That's the thing about L.A., and I'm from New York. When you get to L.A., you go, oh, my God. People in New York talk down the food in L.A. Are they nuts? It's amazing eating.
It is outstanding. I remember a couple years ago after the Lomachenko fight, seeing you at Wolfgang Puck's restaurant across the way with a good crew, man. That was a fun night we all had.
Are you coming out to any fights in the near future, Coach?
I don't think so, but after the season, I was glad to see the way that Loma, you know, made a great comeback, and looking forward to seeing that rematch with Teofimo Lopez at some point, if we can get that thing worked out. My fiance is from Ukraine, and I've been a big Lomachenko fan ever since we've been following him.
Coach, as a matter of fact, you'll be happy to hear this. There are problems with the Teofimo Cambosis fight. They want to move it to Australia.
Yeah.
Teofimo's camp is not happy about that. Meaning, according to Mike Coppinger on my show Max on Boxing, Fridays, ESPN 2, 5 p.m., according to Mike Coppinger, he was saying that there's a very good likelihood now that this year we can get the Lomachenko-Teofimo Lopez rematch. So I agree. I love watching Lomachenko fight. He is a pleasure to watch. And, Coach, your team is a pleasure to watch as well. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
I appreciate it, Max. Thanks for having me on.
Great Sean McVay, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be honest, one of the reasons that the Rams, now that they have the horses, are considered among the favorites is because they have a 35-year-old, you know, wunderkind head coach, a guy who is one of the best offensive minds in the game. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. I see your calls. Axe Max is next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, don't do that to me, Raj. That's so sad. I forgot about that. Damn. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Rams head coach Sean McVay was on the Goodyear Hotline last segment, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear. There it is in English. More driven.
Axe.
Max.
The reason I had the reaction to the last song, that's Biz Markie. Oh, baby, you got what I need. Just a friend. Say she's just a friend. Biz Markie was one of the best entertainers in hip-hop or in popular culture when I was a teenager, basically. And you know, you see him in like Big Daddy Kane videos and stuff, and really old school MC, but could talk about MCing, like mic control, you know, move a crowd, MCing. He could definitely do that. And a generation later, my daughters, my eldest daughter Esther, was hooked on Yo Gabba Gabba, kids show Yo Gabba Gabba. And Biz Markie used to do, "Hey kids, this is Biz's beat of the day," and whatever it was, like a human beatbox type stuff. And she loved Biz Markie. I took her to Radio City to see, this is going back 10 years or so, to see Yo Gabba live, right? And Biz Markie, at the intermission or after the show was over, was like taking pictures with kids on stage. He was like the Pied Piper. The kids' line was out the door. He was like Santa Claus. Man, that was, and he passed away over the weekend. I was really sad about that. I don't know if it's as I get older, but usually, you know, you hear someone passes and you're like, yeah, that's bad, but it's not like it's someone in your family. And I was always a little bit like people who made a big deal out of celebrity deaths. I'd be like, all right, come on, you know. You didn't actually know the person. As I get older, I find that these kind of things affect me more. You'd think it'd affect you less, but like, man, I've been sad about a bunch of them in the last couple of years. Marvin Hagler, Biz Markie. That's something my daughter Esther told me when Hagler passed. She said, "Dad, you're sad," something to the effect of, "you're sad because you're old. You know, this reminds you that the world that you grew up in doesn't exist anymore." She's absolutely right about that. Not even the world she grew up in entirely. She's only not even 13. Damn, Biz. Rest in peace, Biz Markie, one of the greats. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Now, I was supposed to get the phone calls there, but you knocked me off track with that Biz Markie track there.
Apparently.
Yeah, Brendan chiming in now. Everyone's a comedian. I'm going to get the calls coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.